This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
WMDX. Johnny Cordy in the morning.
Good morning.
That is the slick version of our theme now. We've got the original mixed tracks.
That's right.
Here we are.
16 tracks. I didn't even realize till now that you guys mixed it in stereo. The old one was mono.
Yeah, I was curious what you thought of it engineering-wise when you first heard it. Does it sound a little clearer?
Oh, yeah.
Does it sound a little bit defined as far as the instrument?
Well, the old one sounded like it was on a cassette tape with a bad edit in it, and that's what it was.
That's what it was, yes, exactly. But we found the original after many, many years.
Yeah, and we'll play it with
Rocker.
With Rocker this Friday.
Yep.
The whole thing.
The whole 2 minutes and 17 seconds or whatever it is. Yeah. Yeah.
Mean drum solo in there. I'm just kidding.
We could edit in a drum solo.
I'm not exactly crazy about the lyrics, but, you know.
There are no lyrics.
Oh, that's right.
Maybe we should make some lyrics. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
A little bit later on. Let me mention.
Okay. Sure.
Okay. Why don't you start talking?
I'm not saying it. I can't say it.
We could talk all time.
I can't say it better than you.
Well, we're in stereo, so if you want to listen to me, you could turn on the left speaker.
No, turn on the left.
Why don't you? Okay. A little bit. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready. Okay,
it sounded like you two were about to start hitting yourselves like this.
Yeah. I was just going to mention that former Madison Mayor Paul Soglin will join us in about a half hour.
Yep.
That's all. And we're going to talk to him about the
lakefront development.
The waterfront Monona development.
Yeah.
What is that officially called?
Redevelopment of John Nolan Drive.
Thank you.
By Madison Lakeway Partners.
Okay.
All right.
So we'll ask Paul about that because, of course, he was involved in all
this.
He was involved.
He's trying to get it done.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we had the crazy people on the east side who were against it.
Crazy people. Why don't you like the east side anymore?
I love the people on the east side, actually. But there are some that are dug in to the 60s thing. But
still hippies over there.
It wasn't so much that the hippies were like that. It's just their vision of it nowadays.
Okay.
It's a very odd, strange thing going on.
Do you not feel comfortable going over to the east side?
There's this former radio guy.
Yeah.
And he was against train whistles. And he lived near John Nolan and Willie Street, the intersection there.
Sure.
And
the trains go by there.
And the train whistles go by. He just hated train whistles. So the entire city shut down the train whistles because of him.
Really?
Yeah. God.
Well, they're back now, don't they?
The thing is, I love train whistles.
Yeah.
I think, that's America.
It harkens back to an earlier era.
It does. Yeah. It does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have them out in Middleton, so I'm happy that they're still there. I don't know what's going on.
Don't the tracks run right by your house or something?
Yeah, they do.
It doesn't keep you up at night?
Oh, I just love the sound of it.
Yeah. They do the train whistles by me, too, by University Hospital.
Mm-hmm. In the old days, in the 60s, we'd hop the trains and head across America.
Right. Jump in the back of the freight cars,
because they
open the doors.
When you guys were kids, were they still running steam engines
on the rail tracks?
No.
No. Not that old.
Only in the movies. All right. Well, let's get to stand-up comedian Eric Hovde.
Oh, what's he said now?
He is absolutely clueless. This guy is... And he almost beat Tammy Baldwin, which just blows my mind away.
Right.
But anyway, he's delaying the decision he's going to have to make about getting a recount or not done over the election. All right.
He'd have to pay for it himself, right?
He would have to, yes.
How long can he kick the can down the road?
Well, that's the bad thing.
He's not allowed to.
That's the bad thing. The Dem chair of the bipartisan Wisconsin Elections Commission, Ann Jacobs, fantastic person, had a comment about Eric Hovde's delay. Why don't we hear that? It's cut 106. Let's put that in there.
And several candidates who were within the margin of being permitted to ask for a recount have already notified the commission that they don't intend to.
So this instance is unusual, what Eric is doing.
It is unusual, and I wish he would make a decision and let people know. A lot of our clerks want to make plans this time of year. They want to go deer hunting. They want to make plans for Thanksgiving with their families, and they really want to know if they need to be planning ahead for a recount. So if Mr. Hovde is watching this, if you could please let folks know, I know it would be greatly appreciated by our clerks.
There you go. He's preventing Wisconsinites from going deer hunting.
You don't want to mess with that.
Unforgivable. Unforgivable. Really. All right.
Just give it up.
Yeah. But I want to mention here, too, that Anna let us know that she used to be a big Eric Clapton fan, but he turned her off with his anti-vax views.
Well, yes.
He and Van Morrison. Yeah.
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 Well, Clapton had a bad reaction to the COVID-19 vaccine.
Well, tough. Like I said, tough it out, man.
His hands cramped up for like 6 weeks.
Oh.
Couldn't play the guitar.
Oh, that was the reason. He just can't play.
He just Clapton so play. Much. It's hilarious to me. Yeah, but he teamed up with Van Morrison. Then later he said, you know, I don't agree with Van Morrison. Because Van really went overboard.
Overboard on that.
On anti-vaxing.
Yeah.
And then Clapton had to kind of backtrack.
Then he started making racist comments.
Shouldn't ask Eric Clapton anything except about music or guitar. That's it.
But that's what happens when you're a celebrity.
When you're
they
a rock
ask you
star,
questions.
They ask you political questions they go off the rails.
He's just wrong.
My
gut feeling about his playing tipped everybody off initially. So now they're asking questions.
You were right all along.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
That's exactly right.
We're going to get into something here.
Do you want to
somehow these appeared on our desk over the weekend. We got a couple of really nice gift bags.
Yeah, Thanksgiving gift bags.
From Audrey Brunke. Mm-hmm. Remember, she was the 14-year-old we had in a week ago.
Yeah, I listened to the interview. I wasn't here for that.
Well, you were sick.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah. She sent us a gift bag, and it's got a little notebook here that says,
believe in
yourself.
We can make notes for our show.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And let's see what else is in here. A pumpkin spice hot chocolate thing.
That's great.
Bag, whatever. And some soap. Apparently, she thinks we need soap. So clean up our act.
Well,
yes.
That must be it.
I don't know, but thank you, Audrey Brunke, for these gifts.
Yeah, it's the incense we use. It's not so much we don't use soap.
We don't often get gift bags or presents from our guests.
No, we don't. But we encourage it. All right, let's go to the phones right now. Gary's on the line. Gary,
go ahead.
It away.
Good morning, Gary.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
I just have a couple of comments and a little bit of historical perspective on the train, quote-unquote, whistle. We call it horn because back in, I think it was 88 or 9 or so, there was a train had a carload of teenage girls in Oregon, near Oregon, south of Madison. And as a result of the lawsuit, the railroad was required to double literally the volume of decibel level of the sound from train horns. And I was very nostalgic, like you guys have indicated as well. I lived a block from that intersection and it became unbearably loud at all hours. And allegedly, according to some employees, they were asked to lay on the horn a little bit longer than state law requires when they came through the near side of Madison.
Oh, is that what happened?
But thanks to that.
Did they shorten the length of the horn at that point, or did they lower the volume of it?
Oh,
or
no.
did they just ban it, right?
No. It was Sue Bauman who made the change of shutting it down only where there were gated intersections and nowhere else. So
there was
one intersection.
All right.
on the Near East Side that was gated, and I don't know how that came about, but it was Mayor Sue Bauman.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. And this radio announcer guy, I can't remember his name, but he was.
Thanks, Gary.
He spearheaded a lot of that as well.
Yeah. If you'd like to call us or text us, 608-879-TALK. That's 879-8255, or use the Civic Media app.
Well, yep. You know, I understand that the gates.
Yes.
Of course, you don't need a train whistle if you have gates.
Okay. All right.
So you don't really have to announce that you're there.
Right.
But we do have gates in Middleton, and they still have the train whistle, and it's just wonderful. It's just a warm feeling knowing that you're part of America.
Is it a city by city ordinance kind of thing
for the whistle? Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. I think it is. Yeah. So. Madison's just weird. when it comes to train whistles.
Who was it that sent this?
That's Sherry.
That's Sherry.
Sherry out in Horicon sent us another emoji.
It's an animated emoji.
Yeah.
It's a train going by with some sort of...
That's really creative.
I want to ride a train sometime. I think
you've never been on a train?
Not... Well, I guess I have once. I took the commuter rail when I was in San Francisco.
Yeah.
I think that's the only train I've ever ridden.
No kidding.
Wasn't that fantastic? I mean, it just felt great, didn't it?
Yeah, I went in from, I think, Oakland, one of the suburbs outside of San Francisco, into the city. It was pretty cool.
Now, you were talking about steam trains before. They still have some of those up at North Freedom.
Yeah. Wow.
Mid-Continent Railway Museum.
That's cool.
It's open, you know, this time of year. I think they still have trains running. So they do a fall, color tour.
I think they do something like a Polar Express up there, too, with Santa Claus, the Santa Claus train.
Well, that's a different thing.
Do they do in the movie and drive the train across a frozen lake?
No, I don't think so. No, Midcontinent has you get on the train and it's old fashioned train cars.
Yeah,
everything's old fashioned.
Yeah,
and it's pretty cool. You go 8 or 10 miles.
But they
up
do have
Rock
a Polar Express. They have it out in Middleton, by the way.
Okay, that's the Amtrak.
I'm a sucker for steam power. I got to check it out.
Well,
the holiday train.
I can't
I think
say
that's called
steam power, but
okay, the holiday train runs.
It takes what you get.
We'll look up the holiday train, but it runs sometime between Thanksgiving and
Christmas. If you want to take some kind of train, take the L in Chicago. It's easier.
Oh, that's the way to go.
Yeah. I love that thing.
By the way, this portion of the John and Gordy Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress available on Madison's East and West Sides or online at verlo.com. Okay?
Well, that sounds fantastic.
Your fake enthusiasm, really, you need to dial it up a notch or two.
Oh, okay.
It's lagging a little bit.
I will.
You had a long weekend.
Hey, you know, I got this great comedy bit coming up. Okay, after
we
talked to Brittany Merlot, it's a great comedy bit, a British comedy bit.
Yeah.
But I'm going to lead up to it with Mark Wayne Mullen, Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, just a crazy guy, can't make up his mind. Maybe he has made up his mind about RFK Jr. We'll have that.
Okay, Paul Soglin too, coming back with more on John and Gordy.
The engine, hear those lonesome hobos call, traveling through the jungle on the Wabash cannonball.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
WMDX, John and Gordy in the morning. Brittany Merlot is off today. Weather, it started out with some fog.
It did.
Looks like a
fog. It's burned off now.
Fog is lifting. Well, actually, fog doesn't burn, but
I know pointed you, that. That's a
can't that's light a pet it on peeve fire. You could try.
Well, it...
It doesn't burn off.
All right.
It evaporates. The high today about 58. Look for some rain a little later this morning.
Wow.
Get a little edgy when you start talking about
a lot of weather
fog burning.
Pent up anger. All right.
Yeah.
Hey, we got to get to this because we're going to be referring to this often in the next 4 years, okay? You know, the price of everything. For me, if it goes up, I'm going to mention it, and it'll be under Trump. Okay? And
right.
Trump wants to take credit for the economy, not when he takes office, but he wants to take credit now. Let's go to cut 102.
Okay.
Here we go.
2 days. Things happened to our country. This is 2 days as of 3 days ago. But things are happening to our country that we didn't see happening for years. The caravans on the way up, 35,000 people, they're breaking up. They're breaking up. They're not making the journey.
That's not the number.
And we had three or four of the highest, I guess almost every single day, we set new records in the stock market. We set new records economically. We're doing good. Now, the only thing is, Mr. Speaker, I think it's important. Maybe you should pass a bill.
Yeah.
You have to start my term from November 5th, okay? Or November 6th if you want. November 5th, because the market's gone through the roof. Enthusiasm's doubled. It's doubled in the last short while.
How would you know that?
And I watched a liberal commentator say, you know, whether you like him or not, there seems to be a beautiful light shining over our country and even over the world. I said, this guy didn't say that.
No, he probably didn't say that.
I think he was dreaming that.
Holy crap.
Made it up.
Wow, that is really, it's over the top.
He's taking credit.
All right. You know, 35,000 caravan, right?
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. That was a 3,000 person caravan.
Okay.
And it only cut in half to 1,500 because, you know, he was elected into office. Now, 1,500 of those individuals are taking a different route instead of through the caravan, which would go to straight to the border and they'd, you know, try to seek asylum.
Okay.
But again, you know, my eggs over the weekend were $6.59 for a dozen and a half, and I'm blaming Trump because let's say it, you know, November 5th.
Yeah. So it's his fault.
It's his fault.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones. Dick is on the line with a question or a comment or something to offer. Good morning, Dick. Go ahead.
Good morning, guys. Well, you know, do you remember back to the midterms in 2018 when he insisted people were coming here by the groves and he moved military people down during the holidays, watch the border, and nothing happened?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And wasn't that nice to displace all those military people and their families during the holidays? You know, and it was just a big scare tactic during the off-year elections, and none of it came to be.
Yep.
So
that's right.
Nothing surprises me with the guy.
Yeah, he can get away with that kind of stuff, that's for sure. Yeah. All right.
Thanks, Dick.
You
can call us 608-879-8255 or text us there, 879-TALK, Civic Media
app. And the thing is, he's already taking credit for the stock market.
Of course. Anything that
already.
Good. Yep. it's what he does.
Yeah, it's exactly what he does. Now let's get to something even crazier. Okay, I mean this is nuts stuff right here. This is MAGA Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, two first names, defends RFK Jr.
It's always trouble. Yeah,
on vaccines. This is cut 100. Right? Listen to this stuff.
Okay, here we go. And
let's talk about President-elect Trump's pick for HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Of course, he has said he believes that no vaccine is safe and effective. You have been on the record defending the efficacy of vaccines. Are RFK's views on vaccines a deal breaker for you, Senator?
No, I absolutely appreciate Bobby Kennedy taking a hard look at the vaccines. There are some questions that had to be made. But I do got a question for you. The Democrats are spending so much time talking about the scrutiny of President Trump's picks. And yet we didn't spend, did we spend this amount of time scrutinizing Biden's pick? I mean, we can talk about Rachel, the Assistant Secretary of HHS. I mean, we can talk about Pete Buttigieg.
We scrutinized all of those picks robustly. But Senator, let me just go back to this because you've been on the record saying that you do believe vaccines are safe and effective.
Why is America highest in autism? What is causing that? Is it our diet or is it some of the stuff we're putting in our children's system?
Uh-huh. Again, there's just no scientific evidence for that. But very quickly, because we're almost out of time.
Yeah, that's it for that. Okay, now let's get to cut 111. This is Tommy Thompson real quick here. He had a comment about RFK Jr. as well.
All right.
Former Governor Tommy Thompson says his job leading the Health and Human Services Department was a crucial one.
Department of Health and Human Services is one of the most important departments in the federal government. Because every decision pretty much impacts the lives of citizens in the United States. Everything that takes place in health, safety, workplace, elderly, children, adoptions.
President George W. Bush appointing him just months before 9/11.
All the everything takes care of all the safety and welfare of all the citizens, but had the terrorist attack on New York that I had to also implement and be involved in.
He's been following President-elect Trump's nomination announcements closely. Robert Kennedy Jr., a Democrat turned independent, is Trump's pick for HHS.
Do you think RFK is up to the job?
Yes, I do. I mean, he's about the same things that I was. I'm concerned about the obesity in the United States. He's talking about that. He's concerned about the epidemic of diabetes. He's also concerned about the quality of food, food safety. Mm-hmm. And I was very much involved in all of those things.
All right. Okay. What's wrong? What happened to Tommy?
Don't know.
And here's the thing. You got to remember that everybody, all the megas, were really outwardly against Michelle Obama for coming up with a healthy lunch for kids in schools.
Yeah, I remember that.
But now... Now, in fact, they wanted to buy those big gulps. They wanted all the bad food possible.
Right.
And now they're going along with RFK saying, you know, we got to improve our diet.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Sure. Hey, coming up, we'll talk to a former Madison Mayor, Paul Soglin, about the Lake Monona waterfront redesign ideas. That's next on John and Gordy in the Morning.
Let the sun shine. It's the John and Gordy Show.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
From the Civic Media Mothership, it's the John and Gordy Show.
92.7 WMDX.
And this portion of the John and Gordy Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better and dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress available on Madison's east side or west side, or just go online, verlo.com.
All right. Sounds great. Yep. Our special guest this morning, former mayor Paul Soglin, is on the line.
Good morning.
Yeah, welcome.
How are you doing, Paul?
Hey, guys. Good to be here.
Yeah.
Good to have you with us.
You know, we've been reading about, the shoreline of John Nolan Drive and the convention center, and we thought of you instantly. I mean, you tried for years to get this thing going, didn't you?
Several attempts over three
yes,
decades.
Just a few. Yes, that's right. So tell us about that evolution. I mean, you know, I always remember when I moved here in 1980 that, you know, the east side just didn't want to have anything to do with allowing the rest of Madison to share the shoreline along Lake Monona.
Well, one of the things which is characteristic of, of both lakes is that very little of it is accessible to the public. If I remember correctly, when you exclude university and state-owned property between Monona and Mendota, only 8% of the shoreline is accessible to the public. So the first real examination of the shoreline starts with Wright when he comes up not with just Monona Terrace, but his entire Monona Basin plan, which ran from roughly where Monona Terrace is now all the way out to Olin Park. The thing that's important to realize is that the site of Monona Terrace was first a dump. That's what we were doing with the public sector of the lake, and then we turned it into a parking lot.
Wow.
So not the great surface parking.
Not great use of the land, that's for sure.
Yeah. So then the next important thing that happens is that the city comes up with the concept of the causeway. At that point, the only way of getting traffic to the southeast and the southwest sides of Madison to the Beltline was on Park Street, two lanes in both directions. Mm-hmm. And so the causeway is built one lane in both directions. Then in the 70s, when I was mayor, what we did was we doubled the width of the causeway, two right. lanes in each direction, mm-hmm. and we added the bicycle path. And as I used to joke when people said, what's the thing that you did in the 70s that was the best that you did for the city? I said, well, it cost $70,000 to do the bike path around Lake Monona. It has no moving parts. It has brings joy to tens of thousands of people. Mm-hmm. And so I'd always say it was the bike path.
That's great. Still yeah.
So
yeah.
along with that effort was the failed attempt in the 70s to do Monona Terrace.
Yeah.
Then we come into the 90s, we get Monona Terrace, and now we've got two things going in that sector. One is the modifications to the causeway, which is to create even more space for pedestrians and bicyclists. And the other is the major park at the, I guess what would be the eastern end as we approach Willie Street and and Blair Street.
Right.
I'm very supportive of expanding the causeway for more pedestrian and more bicycle access.
Right.
The big park at the other end of that sector. Let me just say, put it this way. I believe that a public park and more public access is a great idea. I also think that in terms of priorities, a commitment to the proposed Imagination Center for the Far East Side, a combination community center and library, mm-hmm. is a higher priority in terms of capital investment. Eventually, the city can do that park, but I just think that there's some other things dealing with the challenges of access to public buildings, to learning, that's a bit more important at this juncture.
Well, aren't they
I failed to mention one other thing. Mm-hmm. As you go across the causeway heading out of town, on the left, adjacent to Olin Park, there's a significant large piece of property I think it used to belong to the Medical Society that we bought with TIF funds in the 1990s. And so that's just another great opportunity for more public access to the lake.
Oh, sure. Hmm. Now they have a planned amphitheater, I believe.
That was part of the original Wright proposal. Mm-hmm. And is now something that's on the drawing board for that site adjacent, shall we say, between the end of the causeway and the beginning of Olin Park in there. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds nice. I mean, for many years, the terrace was the only place where people could get a drink and sit along the shoreline of at least Lake Mendota. So.
And again, that's university.
Yeah.
You know, technically, you have to be there on, as somebody has, you know, access to the campus.
Right, right. You have right. to have a student ID to buy a beer.
Technically, yeah.
I think they had, you know, students lined up for visitors.
Right.
And a student would take the visitors and buy them a beer and, you know,
exactly.
send them out to the terrace.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're looking at ways of expanding that. And I guess there's going to be a little fill along John Olin Drive, right? In order to expand the path, you're going to have a bike path and a walking path.
Yeah. To get that wider right away that's necessary for more pedestrian and bicycle access, there's going to have to be a little more fill put in there. And one of the things that we learned with the original causeway. Mm-hmm. is that when you put that fill in there, it settles. And about every 5 to 10 years, you got to go back in there and sort of jack up portions of the roadway where there's bridges as that fill settles.
Well, we're used to construction zones in this town, so.
Yeah.
Talking with former Madison Mayor Paul Soglin and talking about the Monona expansion and development.
There was an article in the Cap Times supplement, and it's interesting because John Nolan, I did not know this, but John Nolan had these big plans. He kind of actually laid out the city, I understand, but his plans were so extravagant, they were too costly for the city, and they fired him. Do you remember that?
I don't mean it as a criticism, but planners plan. They don't worry about budgets.
Yeah, well, it's true.
Right?
Somebody else has to take that responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least we named a causeway after
him. Frank Lloyd Wright was no different.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Oh, boy.
That's true. And he never got a chance to see the Monona Terrace the way it is. Although the redesign is kind of nice. Very, very true to what he wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Now, Paul, I have a question for you. You know, we're expecting some snow here in a couple of days. And last year we talked to you after we had a couple of snowfalls back to back, and there was problems plowing the snow.
Oh,
yes. And the city was highly criticized for not being ready and not continuing to have the snow plows out there. Any advice as we're looking to this winter season?
Well, you simply have to staff up. I mean, the problem last year, and there was some semantic games being placed. You'll recall I said that at 3 o'clock that critical afternoon, most of the plows were in the shop. And the plows weren't out there. And then the city responded and said, well, the plows were out. They were getting the plows out at 3 o'clock. The plows were not fully dispersed at 3. Mm-hmm. And that's what led to most of the problems the rest of that day and the following day. There's some other things going on. For example, the city cannot fully staff everybody needed to plow from the streets department. And so consequently, you've got other folks, city staff, for example, in parks and engineering, who take up plowing work when, and especially since there's not a lot of parks work to be done when you get a snowstorm. And that's how you get all the city staff out there, as well as the private crews that the city supplements its own effort. Well, over the years, what happened is the city has, for example, added a lot more bike paths, and there's short staffing for plowing out the areas around the bus stops. And so crews in the past that would have been used to plow the streets were assigned to the bike paths and to the bus stops, reducing the number of people out there. In addition, the city had been short in terms of hiring prior to that last storm. And I'm not sure if they were at full strength, but a lot of the drivers were new, and that didn't help matters either. The only thing I can say is, you know how many drivers you need, you know how many lane miles you've got, and that's how you got to staff up.
Absolutely. Okay. I mean, we had, like, what, 4 or 5 inches of snow cover on the roads for the rest of the winter.
It seemed like it.
See, and that's the problem, because in a Madison snowstorm, you get that sudden drop in temperature. You know, the storm comes in when temperatures are in the high 20s and the 30s. And then it's usually followed by an Arctic freeze, and that takes temperatures down around 8-10 degrees or lower, which then binds the packed snow and ice to the road surface, and that becomes very difficult to remove until temperatures get up over 18-20 degrees.
Okay. Well, we hope the city takes your advice. Gets all ready here.
That's long gone.
You tried to come back a number of times, but it just didn't work. You know?
Hey, Paul, by the way, we only have a minute or two left here. How's the book coming? You've been working on this book for 6 or 7 years.
I've actually written the last 20 pages.
Oh, all right.
And I'm now every time I write, it takes about 3 revisions to get it down right. I just write, and then I got to go back and fix everything. So I'm on the last 20 pages, they're going to take at least a second or third rewrite. Then comes the job of getting it published, which is obviously a challenge these days.
Is there a surprise ending that
we could look forward to? Yeah.
A surprise ending.
A shocker or something, some big reveal?
The ending actually culminates with this last presidential election.
Oh.
Yeah. So how do you feel about that? We haven't even talked about that.
Yeah, we haven't even mentioned. We only have less than a minute, but.
Oh. Well, the bottom line is this.
Yeah.
When you want to win an election, you have to do 2 things. You have to turn out your base, and you have to get to the undecideds. Mm. And I don't know what went wrong with the Harris campaign, with the PACs that were working with them, but clearly they didn't know what they were doing in terms of reaching the undecideds.
Yeah.
And that's... We can talk about that next time
if
people are still interested and you guys are still on the air.
Thank you, Paul. We appreciate that vote of confidence.
I think you nailed it there.
Thank you very much, Paul.
I'm not worried about you. I'm just worried about the new administration.
That's true. They could come after us.
Yeah, you're right.
All right.
Thank you, Paul.
Appreciate it.
Okay, guys. Okay. Take care.
You too.
Former Madison Mayor Paul Soglin. We'll continue with odds and ends, tidbits.
If we're still here.
This, that, and the other coming up.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Terrific if you like eating leftovers.
Leftovers?
Leftovers?
I kept the leftovers.
The leftovers!
Just some leftovers.
Leftovers for a week and a half.
He ate those leftovers!
The funeral leftovers.
Leftovers. Enjoy.
Yes,
leftovers. Have we got some nice leftovers this morning.
I know. I was thinking about that over my bowl of cornflakes this morning.
Yeah.
I was thinking, the leftovers, sometimes that's the best part of the meal. I was also thinking that this portion of the John and Gordy Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. I was thinking about that last night as I went to sleep. Sleep better. Dream bigger. Sleep till you wake up on a handcrafted Verlo mattress available on Madison's East and West Sides or online at verlo.com.
Sleep till your roommate wakes you up with ringing the doorbell 5 times at 2 in the morning.
Like, Sam? Jeez.
Well,
he dreamed.
You're a bad roommate.
What do you mean? I'm a bad roommate.
You think you hear a doorbell in your dream, but you know, you really don't get up to check and see if somebody's at your damn door.
Who's ringing the doorbell at 2 in the morning?
Your roommate, and you were sleeping.
Yeah.
I told you I had a crazy run-in with one of my neighbors earlier in the day, and so I thought he was back in the middle of the night for whatever reason. I wouldn't have put it past him to do that.
Okay.
It's almost like the old Cheech and Chong bit. You know, Dave's not here.
That's it. Yep. So what do you got, John?
Well, I have this great cut. This is a British comedy cut. And it plays... I thought it was a real cut at first. They're talking to this prime minister. I don't know who these guys are. You know, it's actually a comedian. And the reporter was asking this prime minister how they're going to get along with Trump.
Right.
And he's saying, well, we're working really well together. And then the reporter asks, well, what about that tweet a year ago? Well, look, I don't want to actually give away too much
let's
here.
Hear it.
So this is a comedy bit. It's not real, but it's fantastic stuff. Listen to this.
So, Minister, Donald Trump is president-elect once again. What are your thoughts on his emphatic win?
Well, look, obviously, I congratulate Donald Trump on his victory, and I look forward to working with his administration over the next 4 years.
You've got some bridges to build with him, though, haven't you? Given that in January 2017, you said, Donald Trump is a neo-Nazi and a disgusting sexual predator. God help the United States.
The Prime Minister and I have already had several meetings with President Trump in order to maintain a healthy relationship that benefits both countries, and I think that's what's important right now.
When you met the President, did he mention this tweet you wrote back in March 2017 when you said, how can anyone spend time with Donald Trump and not come to the conclusion that he's an unscrupulous, egotistical, misogynistic fascist? God, I hate him.
What I'm focused on is making sure that our strong working relationship with the United States continues under President Trump and his team.
Even though you said this in July 2017, Donald Trump is contemptible, vile and odious, a tornado of corruption and depravity in a flappy blue suit. He makes me sick.
Donald Trump is a man who speaks as he finds, but I think that it's important that we find some common ground in the national interest, and that's what myself and the Prime Minister are focused on doing in the coming months.
So presumably you no longer think what you tweeted in December 2017 when you said, anyone who tries to forge working relationships with Trump is an unprincipled, morally bankrupt charlatan who should be treated with contempt and total disdain. I don't care who you are, if you want to work with that fascist monster, you're a piece of shit.
The transatlantic relationship is one of the most important relationships that the UK has, and I don't think that bringing up tweets that I posted several years ago should have any bearing on what we're trying to achieve today.
Even though you said in January 2018,
don't ever forget these things I'm saying about Donald Trump. Seriously, if you find me reeling off some spurious bullshit in years to come about looking forward to working with Donald Trump because he's been re-elected, God forbid, then take it as read that I've sold my soul for the sake of my political career and should be kicked in the face for the rest of my life by the people who voted for me. So much has changed in 8 years, and I think that it's incumbent upon us to extend the hand of friendship to President Trump for the sake of national and financial security.
Okay, if that's the case, perhaps you should also change your profile photo.
And the photo shows him holding a sign saying Trump is a C word.
Shit.
And that was it.
Oh, boy.
That wrapped it up. But,
that was funny.
Wow. It's something else, isn't it? I mean, we should do that here.
What?
I mean, reporters should do that here.
Right.
Because I'm sure that we have a few tweets that we go back to, like Marco Rubio's.
Oh, Lindsey Graham.
Lindsey Graham's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, everybody.
Yeah.
Well, JD Vance.
Ted Cruz.
I thought you were going to say for yourselves going back, like on your blog.
Oh.
Now that, like, how a couple weeks ago on SNL, they were like, we've been with you all along, President Trump. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I thought they'd carry that joke out week after week after week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Where they actually said, you know, we've actually been with you. We've just been having fun with it, you know, on the show.
Absolutely.
But I don't know.
Didn't happen.
It didn't happen. I think they should continue and make it seem like they're all on board with the Trump train.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Well.
Well.
Look who's in the studio.
Catherine's here.
What? You got nothing? Well.
When, okay. So what? You know, you never have anything for us.
I will tell you this.
No.
What? Tell us.
Paul Sogin was mayor when I was here.
Yeah.
20
years
ago.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
And he sounds exactly the same. Just knowing he's still here watching over Madison relieves me so much. I love listening to you.
He's the guardian angel.
He's our guardian angel.
He helps to give us some perspective of things and nobody knows the city like he
does. You guys got old. Everybody got old except Paul Sogin.
I think you have just given him his new job title.
What is that?
Guardian Angel.
Guardian Angel.
Oh, yeah.
He's our new GA.
I mean, without him, without his commentary, without his observations, without his criticisms or his praises, what would the city be?
Nothing.
Nothing. You're right.
He's our GA. I can't wait for his book.
Okay.
All right.
Well, on that happy note, that's it for us for today. We've got a lot of surprises in store for tomorrow.
Oh, so many surprises.
We
don't even know what they are.
We have no idea. Even we will be surprised with what we come up with for tomorrow. But that's it for today. Stephanie Miller's coming up next here, 92.7 WMDX. Have a great day. See you, John.
All right. Yeah, you see.
What are you doing there?
What? What are you saying?
Let's go have a beer.
Okay.
Stay drinking.
Sure.
Day drinking.
is the John and Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.